Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So, on that note, could we now see this very strange little video clip?
This man right here is my great-grandfather. He's the first cat herder in our family.
Herding cats. Don't let anybody tell you it's easy.
Anybody can herd cattle. Holding together 10,000 half-wild short hairs, well, that's another thing altogether.
Being a cat herder is probably about the toughest thing I think I've ever done.
I got this one this morning, right here. And if you look at his face, it's just ripped to shreds, you know?
You see the movies, you hear the stories, I'm living a dream. Not everyone can do what we do.
I wouldn't do nothing else.
It ain't an easy job, but when you bring a herd into town and you ain't lost a one of them, ain't a feeling like it in the world.
EDS, managing the complexities of the digital economy.
Who's seen that before? Yeah, a few of you. Herding cats. So what do you think is the connection? It's very subtle. And this is a bit try hard this morning. What's the connection between kicking against the goads and herding cats? See if you can make that connection. Chat! Go to it. Have a talk. Take a couple of minutes. Get out of your seats. Talk to someone. Yeah, that's it. That's what we're getting to. No. Okay, friends, there was a lot of talk there. Someone said in the front row, they said, so what are goads? We're going to get to that soon. I just wanted to do a bit of a humorous beginning because actually it's a bit of a serious topic this morning. But kicking against the goads. My first question this morning to you is, what do you like at Kiwi Sayings? I'm hopeless. I mean, even in the staff room during the week, I think it was you, Lois, who said, oh, it's about as dark as a cow's stomach. And I was sort of scratching my head and I thought, when was Lois last in the stomach of a cow? And, you know, I was trying to work it all out. And some people, they just trot out these kind of, what do you call them? Colloquialisms. I am, as Ruby will tell you, I am hopeless at these sorts of things. I just cannot make sense of them. I cannot remember them. I just don't get them. So if we got our first slide up there, Matthew, I think I've got some. Now, these are some that are really easy, yes? I mean, let's read it for the sake of the people that listen to this on the system. What a dag. We all know that one? Yeah. What about the long drop? Anyone need to go there right now? No. Box of birds. By the way, this next one, niggle, I lecture American University students, and every time I use the word niggle, they just don't get it at all. They just scratch their head. We all know what a niggle is? Yes. The next one is pack a sad? Yes. Half pie. We all know that one? Oh, it's a P-I-E. No, I think, is it this one or PIE? See, I told you I don't get these sort of things. It's proof. Next one is ham-fisted. What's ham-fisted? What is the meaning of being ham-fisted? What is it? Oh, is it clumsy? You see, I thought it was a lack of generosity. Exactly. I tell you, I tell not a lie when I said I'm hopeless at this stuff. What's the next one? Start from scratch? Ah, okay. Okay. I've got some others here. Just black that out for a bit, Matthew. Do you know this? What these ones I've got here? Crooked as a dog's hind leg. Oh, so that's common knowledge. Okay, here's another one. People in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Is that clear? Oh, okay. Next one. Everything's tickety-boo. I mean, in some cultures, they would look at you strange. Here's another one. Better than a poke in the eye with a blunt stick. What the heck does that mean? What is it? But what does it mean? When would you use it? Oh my goodness, that's absolutely weird. Did you know that one, Lois? You know all of them, I think. I bet you don't know this one then. The Coomera never talks about how sweet it is. Hands up, who knows that one? Yes. I have no idea what it means. Big Rodney? Oh, you don't boast of your own efforts. Stokes. Here's another one that is Kiwi, apparently. Only the foolish visit the land of the cannibals. Who's heard of that one? Apparently that is a Kiwi. No one. Show of hands. Oh, one. You have. You've actually heard that. Do you know what it means? Is this what they teach you at school these days? Okay. I have some others. Can we have some others up there, Matthew? Have we got this one here? A fool and his money are a friend indeed? I mean, what? I got bigger bad and die? I soon parted. Well, they got that one. Next one. Next one, Matthew. A bird in the hand flocks together. Is that all wrong again? Let's try the next one. A rolling stone by any other name makes the heart grow fonder? I got these off Google. Are they mix-ups? See, they're so mixed up, I didn't even know they were mixed up. Thank you, Rodney. Next one. A little knowledge is worth 1,000 words? No, that's even wrong. That's wrong. Have we got one other one, Matthew, or is that it? Now, here's the next one. Now, the next one comes, it's a Greek proverb, and it comes in our text that we read this morning. And it says to kick against the goads. And Ben Dyack here, who's just as thick as I am, Ben said to me, well, what the heck does goads mean? Has anybody got any idea? Talk to the person next to you about goads. Go to it. Has anybody got an idea what a goad is? We've got one here, we've got two people in the room, about four, about what is a goad. So I have a goad is a sharp stick. Okay, a goad, I have a picture of a goad. There it is. That is a Middle Eastern goad. And it is something that you use to sort of poke animals. I think I have a picture of next one. Here is a person who is using a longish goad. It would be a pointed stick, a sharp stick, to get animals to go in a certain direction. Okay, thank you, Matthew. So the idea in this passage here of Acts chapter 26 is that our God is like sometimes a sharp stick. Did you like that? He is like a goad. In other words, he is like a sharp stick, and he tries to herd us. Herding cats? Did you get the connection now? He tries to herd us to get to go in the right sort of direction. So that's our theme this morning. Now, the greatest irony in this passage here is that Paul is trying to herd Christians. He's herding them up, sometimes with whips. He's herding them like animals, and he's even slaughtering some. And so then we have this God who says, well, okay, Saul, you're herding Christians, so I will herd you. And I'll herd you by using a sharp stick. The point being that sometimes our God is like a sharp stick. And you know, when you say this sort of thing, you get some people say, is God actually really like that? And the thing that I want to say this morning is this, is that yes, our God at times is crazy, mean, and wild. And he is like a sharp stick. Are you with me? In all seriousness, I think there is a majority view of God that is held not just by people out there, those who would self-define themselves as non-Christians, but there's a majority view that is also held by Christians on what our God is like. And the majority view is this, is that a lot of people in and out of churches, they tend to think that our God is super tranquil, even-keeled, self-controlled. They tend to believe that our God never loses it, never flies off the handle. They tend to believe that our God is cautious, careful, and always reasonable. They tend to believe that our God, you know, never gets bent out of shape when we sin. And they tend to believe, this is the majority view, that our God never gets upset with us or with people. And that is the majority view of God. And we like that God. But you see, that is hardly the God of Scripture. And to those people who have that kind of cautious, reasonable, calm, and collected God, I want to say to those people, when was the last time you read the Scriptures? And you have to say to this to people even in churches and even in our church. What kind of God do you really believe in? Because you see, the God that I read in Scripture is a God who uses hate language. And our God says that he hates certain things. Now, that is strong language. That is not politically correct. And when God says in Scripture that he hates something, he often yells. And that is hardly polite. I mean, I don't know when was the last time that you read the prophets And you can go to Ezekiel, and you can go to Jeremiah, and you can go to Isaiah. And in the prophets, you know, our God, it's like one harangue after another. And it's in loud decibels. I'll never forget when I first got to this church and people were complaining about the loudness of the worship. I mean, it was the hot debate when I first got here. And so we got these apps for our cell phones, and it was a decibel reading. And you could actually measure the loudness, the decibel rating of worship. You know, if you took that app and you applied it to God in Scripture, He would be off the chart. I mean, our God, He's like this next picture. Could we have this picture up here? I was thinking, what is our God sometimes like? I want you to imagine an Italian woman who has just found out that her husband has been unfaithful. What is an Italian woman like in that situation? I'll tell you what she's like. She's very expressive. She throws her hands up in the air. She throws dishes around the kitchen. She says to her man that he can now no longer live and sleep in her bed. And she also says to her man that I am not going to talk to you for 40 days and 40 nights. And when I think about that, I think that's what our God is sometimes like. Our God is sometimes, he is so volatile, he is so emotional, he is so melodramatic, that at times our God, he calls us names. I mean, for example, in Isaiah chapter 65, he says to the people of God, he says, you are like a stench in my nostrils. You stink. Who you are, what you do, it stinks. He actually says that. And then you can go to other passages, like you go over into Matthew chapter 23, and Jesus is calling a sincere group of people, and he says, you snakes. And then Jesus turns to Peter, and he says, get behind me, Satan. I mean, we have a God who sometimes rants and raves and calls people by name. It's the kind of God we sometimes have. We have a God who weeps. And we have a God who pulls his hair out. And we have a God who is scary at times. We have a God who is like a crazy uncle in the family that sometimes you have to explain to others about. And we've lost this God. And because we've lost sight of this God, we're not a holy people. And sin prevails in the church. And you have all manner of people in churches who are doing all manner of stuff. Because we've ended up with a God that we prefer, who's just so nice and so sweet and just so tender, so even-keeled, so reasonable. And we've lost sight of a God who's like a drama queen, who absolutely loses it when he sees us doing stuff that deeply grieves his heart. And he's a God like that Italian woman who just gets all emotional. You know, as I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about communion this morning, you know, like in churches, you have people whose lives are like cars, and they're rearing out of control going down a road. You do have people like this in churches. They're like a car. And you know, the sad thing is that sometimes you have Christians and their lives are like this car that is veering out of control. And they honestly think that God just stands on the sidewalk and he's so still and quiet and he's speaking so gently as he sees you rearing down the road out of control. And I kind of think, what kind of God have you made up? That's not our God. What is our God like? You know, if our lives are like a car veering down a road absolutely out of control, and we may even be on the highway to hell. And there are people on the highway to hell. And there is a place called hell. Do we honestly believe that the kind of God we have is someone who just stands quietly and gently on the side of the road, speaking sweetly to us? Or do we have another kind of God that at every stoplight on the road, he absolutely jumps up and down trying to get our attention? And if that is not enough, do you know what our God then does? Could we have the next slide, Matthew? Here we have a person who's racing after the car. Thank you, Matthew. And this God of ours is a God who, if he can't get our attention by jumping up and down at every stoplight, what he does is he races after us and he gets to you, the car, and he bangs on the window trying to say, what the heck are you doing with your life? And then even if that is not enough, do you know what he does next? He jumps on the front bumper of the car as you're veering out of control in your life. He jumps on the front bumper and he jumps up and down trying, pleading to get you to turn around. And then if that's not enough, then he puts his body in front of the car. He puts his body in front of the car and he's prepared to die. You know, we're coming to the end of the year, people. And I have to ask the question this morning. And it's to me as much to you. Are you kicking against the goads? In other words, has God been using a sharp stick on you through the year? And he's desperately trying to get your attention. And he uses a sharp stick. People, that sharp stick is love. Yes, it's love that changes its form. It's still love. He disciplines those that he loves. We must be a holy church. We must. Not just for our sakes, but for the sake of a lost world. And so sometimes you get to October And the best thing that we can do in October is to be self-critical. And it's to look at ourselves honestly, starkly, brutally, and ask, is there anything in our lives that God has been goading us? But like Saul, we're kicking against the goads. And it could be a minor thing, or it could be a major thing. And if we've got that thing, we've got to know that our God is like a drama queen. He gets so crazy, wild, melodramatic, volatile, and emotional. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you. And he wants the best to happen. But if he spots something that is blocking that best from happening, he morphs into the Italian woman. And it's a new picture of love. Because he's absolutely crazy about you. So if you have something small, and you've been lying, cheating, if you have something big, whatever it might be, when we take communion, you come to the front and you kneel around this platform here. And we will serve you. You don't have to say anything to us. But it's your public acknowledgement that you do want to be a person who doesn't kick against the go. And Saul came to a point where he stopped kicking. Because God said to him, look, as long as you kick against the goads, it's going to hurt you. As long as you keep resisting, you're just going to get hurt. That's what it says in the text. So come on. Close our eyes. Now, God, we come to your table. And we come to a God who placed his body in front of the car. And you allowed your body to be brutalized and bashed, beaten and bruised. To stop us in our tracks. Our God, there are people in this room even who need to be stopped in their tracks. And you've been using a sharp stick. Oh God, grant them grace to respond to you this morning. Not to me, but to you. Grant me grace to respond to you. Grant us all grace to respond this morning. In small things or big, grant us grace. Thank you for this kind of love. I wonder if I could have some people who could help me serve communion. That'd be great. Thank you, guys. So we're going to share the cup and share the bread, symbolizing a broken body in front of the car. A body that was placed there so that it might stop us in our tracks. You can't ever receive a better picture of love than a body that is placed in front of a car to stop it in its tracks. If you are needing to stop something, be it ever so small or big, I'm going to ask that you make your way to the front soon. And just kneel, and then I will serve you communion. For the rest of us, the bread and the cup will come your way. And we're going to have a song being played on our screen here. And you might like to just meditate and reflect on the words. So, thank you. Yeah, just take this. Thanks. So you make your way if you want to just stop something in its tracks in your life. You make your way to the front here now. Feel quite free. We're a safe church, an honest church. You make your way to the front now.
To hunger, to see.
With the lights out.
To thirst. Awaken first love.
Chris, could you turn the lights out? Chris Jacks? Yeah, okay, it's light out. Thank you. So come to the front. This is a time of cleansing. This is a time of honesty. This is the kind of church that we are. This is a call to holiness.
Spirit.